Luke and Michael, you're live on BFM now. Can we?
Hey, good evening, Lee. Michael
there's,
here.
There's Michael. Luke, have we got a working mic from you? You're not saying anything, mate?
Hello, hello.
Oi.
Hello. I don't know how any of this computer stuff works.
Bullshit. Right. Cool. So I'm really stoked because I had no idea who you were, Luke, and also who you were, Michael. But I had no idea until Molly linked me the album last night. So I listened to it and your music for the first time last night when I was having dinner with my family.
Beautiful.
Which was a
very... What did you eat?
We had my dad. Oh, what did we have? Shit, what did we have? Oh.
Well, you can't. You don't
no. I remember. Yeah. Sorry. It was my dad made a Mexican bean mix, and then he did quesadillas with that, and then I made a guacamole, and then he had the what's it called? Chipotle, like the roasted jalapenos and the sauce with it as well. So it was good. Yeah. Like I love a meal. I love a meal when it's like different elements on the plate, and he had a coleslaw as well.
The assemblage is a very big part of like Mexican cuisine for me, like putting stuff on stuff, like and coming back, circling back.
Yeah, totally.
Different sauce, salsa fresca, etc. So it's good news.
A wonderful accompaniment meal to a fine Vaporwave album.
Yes, true. Before 5 minutes ago or so, I was introducing the interview. I was talking about how we were going to do it. And I said that By Now was a new album, but that was a mistake. The book is new, and By Now is actually from 2015. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, right. Which is... Where should we start? Okay. I feel like we should all take a deep breath.
Ready.
Welcome to the Earwaves, everybody. Michael Brown and Luke Rowell. What's happened here is that Luke has been making music under Disaster Radio and Eyeliner. Disaster Radio since the year 2000, is that right?
Correct. Since Y2K.
Right, yes, Y2K. Y2K.
Yeah.
And
incredibly Y2K compliant.
Yeah, right. And so this album, famous album, the seminal album came out in 2015, which was the height of a movement. Is this, and then you can you please correct me if I'm wrong, but it was kind of at this moment in music where vaporwave, a style of music called vaporwave was coming into, or was popping off, so to say. Is that right? 2015?
Michael could probably answer that in a more scholarly and thorough fashion.
I think the sort of ground zero for Vaporwave is around 2011, 2012, when some of the first really classic examples came through, including Floral Shop by Macintosh Plus, which was 2011.
Yes.
Which featured a sampled and pitch shifted version of that Diana Ross song you just primed us up with. And it was pretty underground movement for the first few years, I would say. It was a lot of the scene was congregating on chat boards and social media. Around 2015, when By Now came out, that was really on the cusp of Vaporwave becoming something a lot bigger, with a larger following. So that now it's really kind of at the center of quite a large scene of sort of adjacent electronic music styles. So it kind of came out at a good time for that movement as it was sort of expanding. It's partly accounts for its success, and people keep coming back to it and giving it acclaim.
Yes, right.
And all this is wonderfully covered in the book, of course.
Right. I'm not sure if I got to that bit, but Michael has written a book that is about Luke's seminal album, what's called By Now, but why, more widely, it's about vaporwave in New Zealand. Is that correct, that it's about vaporwave in New Zealand, Michael?
It's certainly one of the topics covered, is how this being a kind of an internet music genre, like a genre that doesn't start in some town or city and have a kind of geographical scene, it's a genre that kind of people were getting together from all over the place an internet genre. It kind of meant that people from a far-flung country on the kind of global margin, like New Zealand, where musicians have often found it really hard in earlier eras to kind of get much traction overseas. But in this era, they are able to do that. And there certainly was a New Zealand vaporwave contingent. A lot of them were associated with a label called Crystal Magic Records.
Right.
Run by Fraser Austin, including Power Nap. Which is the artistic alias for a well-known BFM DJ, Chris Cudby. Fraser himself.
Name drop.
Yep. Had his own kind of persona, Real Player 7, Dave, persona for Dave King, later on of the band Stalker. And several others. So, yeah, it's a bit about that scene, but it's also about how, you know, just individuals from, you know, a place like Wellington, New Zealand, or Auckland, Lower Hutt, could...
Which you two are both really... from, eh?
I'm from Lower Hutt. I'm currently in Otatahi, Christchurch, but Michael moved... Were you on the coast of Wellington and you moved to Lower Hutt?
I grew up in Waikanae, Parapara, Umu.
Beautiful.
Kapiti Coast, which is actually quite a lot like the Hutt Valley.
Yeah.
But, you know, these sort of places, you get online, you make some music, you put it online, you kind of latch into a scene, or you get adopted by a scene, what you're doing. And, you can kind of hold your own with people from, from Portland, Oregon, where Macintosh Plus comes from.
Right, of course, from Portland.
Houston, Texas, or Chicago, or whatever.
Yeah, right. Cool.
So it's kind of the book is sort of goes into that, the effect that the internet has had on New Zealand music, and music more generally.
Mm. Right. Gangster. Well, I feel like with this big, all this talk about where music was at the time and kind of what it meant culturally, could we get an explanation of the characteristics of vaporwave, or the sound? How does it sound? What does it look like, maybe? Bart Simpson drinking lean, perhaps?
That's part of it. Simpson wave is definitely one of the slices of the pie chart. It started out being very blue and black, and now it's gone very purple. But like Windows 95 graphics, I feel like the younger generation know what you're talking about before you call it vaporwave. That Windows 95 graphics, or these kind of the postmodern art movement style stuff, as in the case of the cover of By Now. There's the classic kind of cheesy grid with hills and the sunset and a palm tree, and this kind of more sort of synthwave adjacent image that's very emblematic of the genre.
But yes.
Depending on who you ask.
Mm. Turquoise, Miami.
Yeah,
I think of Miami as a city. Yep.
A lot of artists do touch on Miami as a conceptual thread. We can say it that way.
Yeah, right. Totally.
Abandoned shopping malls. That's another kind of vaporwave trope.
Yeah. And why do you think that people think of places like Miami when talking about vaporwave?
I think it's I mean, I put out an idea there. I mean, I think you're sort of latching into quite strong imagery from 1980s popular culture that was associated with Miami. I mean, I think particularly of the TV series Miami Vice.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was going
to say. Yeah, and that kind of very sort of slick, sort of...
optimistic.
I don't know, affluent and optimistic sort of lifestyle, the kind of tropical vibe. You know, there was something... it was selling a kind of a consumer dream of fast cars, great clothes, neo-deco architecture, you know, evenings on the veranda watching the sunset with a, you know, pina colada or, you know, watching the sun go down behind the palm trees.
So it's like the 1980s and you're American... You've got a good hairdo and you've just come off the jet ski and you're making lots of money and spending lots of money. And as far as you're concerned, it's going to go on forever.
Yep.
Yes.
And you slip some yarn hammer into the stereo and, you know, revel in those synthesizer vibes.
Yes. Sound of the future.
Or the sound of capitalism imagining its own eternity.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel me? Goats. You feel me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Cool. Fast forward to 2010, 2011. What was the music? I mean, what was the music that was coming out from people like Macintosh Plus and Chuck Pearson?
Most of the vaporwave genre, I would preface what I do with a lot of it is like chopped and screwed samples of production music, R&B, smooth jazz, this kind of remixing aesthetic. What I am in is a slightly more, a different subtext by using synthesizers and programming. I'm sort of making this, trying to make this stuff from scratch or point at a different sort of part of the whole genre to the point where I'm referred to in a subgenre called Utopian Virtual. And it's, I'm writing the stuff from scratch, but what one would normally think of when they hear the word vaporwave is this kind of slowed down 80s R&B, et cetera, kind of remix sound. And that's definitely Chuck Pearson's and Macintosh Plus, St. Pepsi, Luxury Elite. That's the music I was sort of responding to, but in a slightly different way. And there are a few other artists. Right. I mean, even Power Nap, Satin Sheets.
Right. You were responding to by making it all yourself. I mean, that was the difference.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I was also involved in like a copyright advocacy group, which meant that I was, if I was sort of caught sampling stuff, like Disney would take us to court, but that's a whole other story.
Right. wow.
So it's what I'm doing is slightly more like microscopic and labored, but yes. I'm pointing at the same sort of ideas. I think the same sort of thing.
Cool. Sweet. Should we talk about me?
No. Sure.
No. We should talk about the book more, I think. Really? Hey. So the book is about vaporwave in New Zealand and how the connectivity of the internet. Do you think that was vaporwave the start of this sort of, or was it not the start, but did it signify the beginning of internet music, of cultures being able to exist beyond, outside of like geographical, instead of it being like, this is Auckland music, this is Detroit music, this is internet music?
Yeah. Well, I think that there have been a few sort of internet-based genres before this, such as C-Punk was a kind of style for a while. There was something called Witch House, which was a little bit earlier. And then people have also... you know, talked about blog rock, you know, which was people releasing MP3s of their rock groups through their blogs. And that's a kind of like a MySpace era, mid-2000s sort of internet genre.
Yeah,
but I think vaporwave really is a quintessential example where it's sort of not, for a start, it kind of lasted.
Right.
It's kept going for like now getting on to 15 years, whereas a lot of these other ones were kind of, they came and went, they were quite ephemeral. And I think that's because there is something quite self-reflexive about it as a genre. It's often the imagery is referring back to the early internet, to those sort of 90s sort of corporate computer logos and the sounds of CD-ROM games. So it's kind of the internet sort of kind of eating itself almost.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And producing a sort of a comment on, you know, a time when I think technology had much more of a utopian ring to it than it does now in our sort of troubled times of what's happening online. I think that's one reason for its longevity. I think it's also a pretty diverse stylistically, even though a lot of artists use the same techniques. There are all these kind of minute sort of shades of difference between different micro genres among the vaporwave family. It's almost like people making those up kind of semi-humorously, I think, sometimes.
There's a lot of irony involved, hey?
Yeah, it's sort of commenting on itself. Even the name Vaporwave is a little bit of a gag, because it comes from the term vaporware, which is like software or technology that gets promoted and the company in the end never puts it out. This is sort of like, the music is never setting itself up to be
anything.
I don't know. In the same way that new genres do get kind of overblown and overhyped sometimes, it's kind of almost sort of puncturing itself from those sort of critiques from the start. It's very self-aware.
Yeah,
Vaporwave
yeah, yeah.
Is dead.
Right. You know? Vaporwave is dead. Cool. Right. So... Interesting, very interesting. When does the book come out?
The book is out now. It's been out for about a week.
Check it out, hot off the printing press.
Yeah, I should just put it in context. It's part of a series
Really?
called 33 and a Third. And some people out and listeners may have heard of this series. It's been going for about 20 years, and each book is a study of a particular album. In the past, these have mainly been Anglo-American albums, you know, the famous groups, the kind of classic albums, the canon. But a few years ago, the publisher decided to do some spin-off series to sort of start covering music from other countries and parts of the world. And so this is in a series called 33 and a Third Oceania, and that covers Australian, New Zealand, and Pacific music. So there's about 15 or so books in that series, sub-series so far.
Wow. I had no idea. That's so my bad. Yeah, I completely thought that it was a standalone book.
They're great little books.
Yeah.
They are.
Cool. Oh, that's genius. That's God's work.
But they're quite small in size. They kind of like almost fit in your pocket. They're sort of about 30,000 words with a kind of price point to match. These aren't kind of going to break the bank by one of these. But
yeah, cool. Where can you buy the book?
In Auckland, you can get it from the Flying Nun shop. You can get it from Flying Out. I think, is there a bookshop there called Time Out?
Yes.
Yes.
I think I see they have stock. Or you can order it online from the websites of those places or of any bookshop, good bookshop. Bloomsbury have their own website. You can buy it through them. Or you could even go to Amazon.
You can
pay
Jeff Bezos
like
for it. Yeah.
Yep.
you want the real experience.
Which would be appropriate, wouldn't it, Luke? Considering where the title of the album came from, maybe you should tell
exactly.
that story.
I literally got the name from Amazon. So I think as a Bloomsbury's website says, buy now, you can buy now, which right. is very cute. Or one of the websites we saw. So.
right. yeah, genius. Yeah.
So buy now, said, buy now. Every time you see that click, button, click, click, click. Think of me.
Yeah, sweet.
Ironically, oh. the album was free or very cheap still on Bandcamp as well. So, and it's on streaming.
Yeah.
If you like the sound of this sort of thing.
Right. And we might have a new edition coming out too, like just in time for the book.
Yes, yes. Cassettes and vinyl coming soon. That's not announced yet, but it's coming.
Genius. It's coming. Hey, thank you. So lovely to talk to you guys. Sorry, we need to wrap this up.
So good to chat.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on. If you want to know more about Vaporwave in New Zealand, go and get the book. And also you can go to a release show for the book, I think, which is going to be in Wellington at what bookstore?
Flying Nun Records Shop.
Flying Nun Records.
Cube Street. On 5 o'clock tomorrow night.
5 o'clock tomorrow night. Go and see them. Cheers, gang. See you later.
Awesome. Cheers.
Thanks, lovely.
Ciao.
Bye.